Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long in studio. Steve Geller, I think, will join us twice today. I'll pick him segment, and then which will be a little after 4:20, and then again at 5:45. Well, I don't know. I don't know if we'll have time for that one, because we have Devin McGovern on with us at 5:35, president of the Bonanno Boxing. Les Bonanno, just household name in this region for boxing, and they'll have Les's Classic this coming Saturday. So we'll have Devin on to talk about it around 5:35. Jen Hale will join us at 5:20. Jen works for Fox and will be the sideline reporter for the Fox game this week in New Orleans as the Saints play the Carolina Panthers, and she'll be working with Chris Myers and Mark Schlereth. And at 4:35, the head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tim Rebo, will join us as they gear up to play LSU for the first time ever, and playing it in Tiger Stadium. So there's a lot of people that's kind of spring breaking, so to speak, this weekend from Thibodaux to Bayou Region to go to Tiger Stadium. Charlie, one of the things that, and today, let me say this, start of the NFL season as the Baltimore Ravens Woo-hoo. Play the Kansas City Chiefs tonight, and it's none of these practice games. It's the real McCoy. So the Ravens, Kansas City, and you can hear that game tonight right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. The Saints injury report came out today, and good news again, and I'm going to sort of repeat what I said yesterday. Every projected starter practiced. Pete Werner, back-to-back days, full participant. The change, Marshawn Lattimore with his hip flexor, and man, I've talked to enough guys that have dealt with it. They tell me that's like a 3 to 4 week recovery, sometimes 5 weeks. He was limited yesterday, full participant in practice today. So that, to me, would mean Marshawn Lattimore is going to start Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. Willie Gay Jr., who had some back issues starting last week, he was limited yesterday, limited today, but he was practicing. And Nick Saldiveri, who has been dealing with a calf issue. This is back-to-back years with it. And I think, Charlie, they want Nick Saldiveri to be the starter at left guard. He just can't stay healthy. He also was limited back-to-back days, but he's out there practicing. Who didn't practice? Jalen Ford at linebacker with a hamstring. Dallin Hooker with the ankle. DeMarco Jackson with a calf injury. Colin Saunders, and it looks like that might be a while with him. The new addition has been A.T. Perry with a hand issue, and he did not participate today in practice. With the Panthers, this is back-to-back days now. The two tight ends that they were counting on was listed as either number one or number two was Ian Thomas with a calf injury. Tommy Trimble with a back and a hamstring did not participate in either one yesterday or today. So they're going to be limited at that tight end position. And we had on Jake DeLome yesterday, and Jake was talking about, for them, the tight end becomes almost a glorified third tackle. They want to protect, basically, Bryce Young from getting sacked 62 times like he was a year ago. And they want to get the running game cranked up. So Ian Thomas, Tommy Trimble, both missing today's practice, back-to-back days for them. So, Charlie, good news for the Saints, and especially Lattimore, because to me, he's one of those guys, man, I'm ready to go. And I think about those three safeties that they have. They have never had a group like that with Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, Alante Taylor.
So looking at the tight end room for the Panthers, Jatavion Sanders was the guy that, if you're talking about block first tight ends, I don't think his name really comes up.
Man, you got to spell it for him, because all he want to do is catch passes.
And he's good at it.
And he's really good.
There's a reason they spent a fourth round pick on him this past year. And Jatavion Sanders is an interesting one. But if you're looking at the Saints cornerback room, as you mentioned, Mike, that's the strength of the team. And while the Panthers have a revamped pass catching group, because last year I did the numbers, Mike, Adam Thielen was like 30% of their receptions, 30% of their receiving yards, and basically 25% of their targets. He was their entire passing offense last year. Veteran Adam Thielen, and that's part of the reason why they were a 2-15 ball club, is because they didn't have any weapons on offense for young quarterback Bryce Young. And, you know, when we've talked to these people from the Panthers radio network, they always say it was a perfect storm kind of surrounding Bryce Young. It really wasn't his fault that his rookie year went the way that it did.
That's why it should be an incomplete grade.
It really should be. And so they go out and make the trade for Deontay Johnson, who by all accounts has become their wide receiver one. Adam Thielen's going to kind of slot into that wide receiver two role. And then they got the two young guys with Jonathan Mingo, a former second round pick from 2023, and then Xavier Leggett, the first round pick out of South Carolina from this year. They've revamped that pass-catching group a little bit, adding Jatavion Sanders to that list as well. But if you're still looking at this matchup, the Saints still have a clear advantage with their defensive backs versus the Panthers' pass-catchers. I don't think it's even really that close.
And this team has not played as a first-team unit the entire preseason. Not one down. Not one.
As an entire unit, yes.
As an entire unit.
Bryce Young played one, basically, drive. And Schlereth was talking about that yesterday, or on Tuesday when we talked to him, Mike, when we brought it up. Like, he was kind of questioning that decision.
Jake was the same way yesterday. He said, Mike, I wouldn't have done that.
A two-win team, and you give their starters, or you give Bryce Young in that offense, basically one drive in the preseason. Like, Dave Canales, all the reports from him is that, you know, what he did in Tampa Bay that was super impressive last year was those opening scripts, like the first 10 to 15 plays. He was great at that with the Buccaneers. And I guess they hope that it happens again. But at the same time, there's not much continuity with this Panthers offense. You have new offensive guards in place. You have new weapons that Bryce Young's throwing to. I mean, Chuba Hubbard is the same, I guess, but there's not too much similar. So the fact that they didn't get much snaps in that, you know, preseason run, Mike, is a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I know in talking to Jake about it on and off the air, he was, I'm shocked that they didn't run that as a unit, because you got to be able to work together as a group, and especially offensive line. And he questioned that a lot, that he didn't think that was a good sign. But like you said, hey, I'm not coaching. I'm just looking from afar with that particular deal. And so it'll be interesting how well they match up front on both sides. And we know the deficiencies for the Saints. That left guard, Lucas Patrick is who he is. And, you know, he's a journeyman player at that left guard spot. And then Trevor Penning at the right tackle position. I think Fuaga, he's going to make some mistakes, but that guy can play. I mean, he can flat out play. And we know with Eric McCoy, he is one of the better centers, certainly in the National Football League. And Cesar Ruiz is a solid player at the right guard spot. But you can cover one up. You can't cover two of them up. So I bet Jadeveon Clowney gets lined up over the head of Trevor Penning quite a bit.
And that's why I'm not too worried about Taliese Fuaga's debut, is because who is he going against, Mike? I mean, they really don't
big
have
question
anyone.
Question mark.
Like, that was part of the bite that I used from Anish Roth for the Sports Slash there, was that, you know, defensively, they brought in some guys that are familiar with the scheme there. But at the same time, moving on from Brian Burns, Mike, you always say this, the next man up thing doesn't really acquire, like,
no,
go to those
elite
players.
Not for Brian Burns, it don't.
Exactly. So, Brian Burns.
They thought maybe Chaisson could have been that guy, but Calavian,
DJ Wanham is injured.
And
so
hurt, and so they really don't have that guy. That, man, that keeps me up at night, having to block. Now, you might be kept up at night with your offensive line, but there's not a defensive end that keeps me up. Derrick Brown's a man. I mean, he has an NFL record for most tackles for an interior player for a reason.
Yeah.
Since they started keeping stats on that. Derrick Brown's a flat-out stud out on the field. But, man, Brian Burns, you don't have nobody in his area code as a football player. When we come back, it'll be our Pick 6 segment right here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio, and it's our Pick 6 segment. Charlie, I hope you got everybody's picks there with you.
I got them.
All right. Last week, just a kind of a fun deal for us. 4-2 for me. Charlie, 3-3.
Yeah, you said picking with the heart was what I was doing, and that's exactly what I was doing with Coach Napier and the Florida Gators. Yeah, who got spanked. Spanked by Miami. Oof. That was a bad look.
Now we'll see what the freshman can do. Can he be the life raft? I don't know, but yeah, you know, it's kind of.
You might as well give him a shot.
And Graham can't play.
Graham Mertz is bad, Mike.
Concussion protocol. But, man, they got problems up front. You better get a mobile quarterback And that young freshman he's got some wheels on him now.
We kind of talked about Mertz. It's just like, yeah, neither of us really like him. But, man, that was a terrible showing against Miami. Bad.
But they didn't block for him either, Charlie.
That's true.
I'm not going to put all the blame on him.
And so you're looking at Miami now as the clear favorites for the ACC, I would imagine. So based off what we saw from Clemson against Georgia when they got smacked, we got that one right, Mike. Both of us had Georgia in that game.
I'm a big fan of Cameron Ward. I'll go back quite a few years with him in high school, and then he comes to Incarnate Word.
And then LSU let us both down, unfortunately. Yeah. But we won't be picking LSU this week because they don't have a spread for that game. Okay. We're going to start College Football Week 2. Number 3, Texas, opens as 7.5-point favorites at number 10, Michigan, in a premier top 10 showdown.
I'm going with Texas here. I think they're a better team, more established, certainly at quarterback. I think that tandem of Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning are the best in college football, 1-2. Michigan still trying to figure out that quarterback situation and getting it straight. Their defense is really good now. Really, really good.
Yes, they have some, like, two top 10 picks on that defense with Will Johnson and Mason Graham.
And so you got three potential first round picks, but I'm going to go with Texas here. I just feel, Longhorns are a better team. And last year, you know what? They were in a similar spot against that team out east, Alabama.
Yeah, for sure.
What happened there?
No, I'm taking Texas as well, and this is actually a clean sweep. Bobby made a really funny point when I was getting his picks earlier today about Michigan being, like, the quarterback for Michigan being a game manager's game manager. That's exactly what you're kind of expecting. You're just hoping that he doesn't do enough to lose the game. You just hope that the defense kind of carries you to victory. As we mentioned, Will Johnson and Mason Graham are two studs on the defense for Michigan, both probably going to be top 10 picks this upcoming year. At the same time, Texas, there's a great point made about the Longhorns this year that they may be one of the fastest teams in college football. And there's a reason that they're the number 3 team in the country.
Man, last year, all I know is them receivers they had.
And they brought in Isaiah Bond,
bring
from
in
Alabama.
Bond, but, man, ain't nobody as fast as Worthy.
Oh, no, not at all. There's a reason he was a first-round pick.
That guy, he could run. They are a team, man, if they come off the bus, you say, whoa, that's impressive. The size, the physicality, and I think that's the big change from maybe Texas from years ago and Texas today. I give Sarkisian a lot of credit. He rebuilt that offensive line. They've got some long, lengthy guys along the defensive line. And, man, do they have some speed at running back and at wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm going with UT as well. So this is a clean sweep because Steve has them as well. We're only doing 2 college football games this week because the NFL Week 1 slate is awesome, and we'll do 4 of those games. So the other game that we have, number 17, Kansas State at Tulane. Kansas State opens as 9-point favorites in this one, Mike.
I'm going to take the wave in the 9 points. Kansas State, conservative team. They like to play small ball with you, run the football, looking for maybe a mistake that you might have on special teams to convert on that. I think, the young freshman, redshirt freshman, I should say, Mensah, he re-impressed me. So
yep.
I'm going to take that 9 points. And the green wave.
I'm nervous about this one. I will also take Tulane. Steve has Kansas State here, -9, but you, me, and Bobby all have Tulane +9 at home. I think the one thing that really concerns me about this is if Kansas State kind of backdoors it and scores late and maybe wins. But I think this will be a very competitive game, no doubt about it. But the thing that stood out to me when we were talking with Coach Summerall about Kansas State, he kept talking about the rushing attack and the rushing defense for Kansas State. They're really built well in the trenches. As you mentioned, they're kind of conservative, but at the same time, as Coach Summerall mentioned, they're not going to beat themselves. So this is probably going to be a tight game. I got Tulane covering the spread. +9 is a lot. It has actually come down. It was 10 just the other day.
Man,
so
I saw it Monday night. It actually was 10.5.
Yeah, so it has come down a little bit, but I'll still take Tulane +9. Obviously, some money's coming in on them. NFL Week 1, Mike, as you kind of mentioned in the first segment, the Ravens at the Chiefs kicks everything off tonight on Thursday Night Football. You can listen to that game at 7 o'clock here on WWL. And the Chiefs open as 3-point favorites at home. Will they lose back-to-back seasons, coming off a championship? Last year, they lost to the Detroit Lions.
They didn't have Chris Jones either.
Yes, that is true. This one's a little bit different. I think that I'm a little bit concerned with the Ravens when I was looking through their schedule and everything like that. How much of a difference and how much of an impact is losing Mike McDonald going to have on that defense for the Ravens? I'm going to take the Chiefs here. Bobby's got the Ravens +3. Steve also has the Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Chiefs at home. It's a 3-point spread. This very well could be a push. But give me Kansas City. I think that Baltimore, I don't know if they missed their opportunity last year necessarily, but I think they may take a slight step back. A slight step back. I think they'll still be a playoff team. But will they be the number 1 seed in the AFC again? I'm not sure.
if you're going to catch Mahomes, and I rarely do this, if you're going to catch him, you better catch him early. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Okay. Once again, this very well could be a push. I mean, this is a 3-point spread. We'll
see what happens there. I was thinking of that, too.
But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I And with Steve on this one, you and Bobby have the Ravens, so we'll see how that works out. Kind of keeping my fingers crossed there. Up next, we got the Steelers at the Falcons, some NFC South flavor. The debut of Kirk Cousins, Falcons open as 3.5-point favorites at home against the Steelers.
I'm going to go with the Falcons. I think they're more settled at the quarterback position. I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. I know the Steelers can play really good defense, but the Falcons can match up front, offensive line-wise. And Bijan Robinson, he's a stud player at running back. I'm going to go with the Falcons.
It's really funny that this is like strength versus strength and weakness versus weakness with the Steelers defense versus the Falcons offense, strength versus strength, and then the Falcons defense versus the Steelers offense. Give me the Falcons here. I'm with you. And this is actually a clean sweep. Bobby and Steve both have the Falcons as well. Should be a fun game, I would imagine. So, you know, opening weekend in Atlanta. But at the same time, I just don't think the Steelers have enough offensively. And, you know, there's been the whole thing about, you know, Mike Tomlin every year goes 8-8 or at least gets 9 wins. Or I think that streak's going to come to an end. I think the Steelers are in for a pretty tough season. Depending on what happens with their quarterback situation, I think either guy probably leads them to like a 7-10 type of year. So give me the Falcons minus 3.5. Up next, we got the Saints game, Saints hosting the Panthers. Saints open as 4-point favorites in this one.
I'm going with the Panthers here. These games have notoriously been very close. The Panthers' defense is legit. Even though they don't have a Brian Burns off the edge, their defense is pretty doggone good. They can't be any worse on offense. Can't be any worse on offense. So I think this ends up being a field goal game. I think the Saints win it. But, man, if I get 4 points, I'm going with the Carolina Panthers.
I agree 100%, Mike. This screams to me 23-20. I mean, doesn't it? It feels
something in that range, like 2017, 23-20.
Yes. It feels like a 3-point game where maybe Blake Groupie hits a game-winning kick, and then the Saints go home happy.
Just win.
Yes, just win. I don't care if it's ugly. I'm taking the Panthers to cover the spread. I'm taking the Saints to win. I think they win by a field goal. I think that's basically as close as it gets. Because, you know, if you basically, we kind of felt similarly about LSU last week against USC that was going to be a tight game.
And I changed my own mind on that.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm taking the Panthers in this one, too. Bobby and Steve both had the Saints minus 4, so this is a little bit of a split decision here, Mike. And then we'll wrap up with...
Well, I knew where Bobby was going.
Yeah, obviously, right. But we'll wrap up with Sunday Night Football, the Rams at the Lions. Lions open as 4-point favorites at home as well.
This is the toughest one for me. The other ones, man, I circled them fast. This one I thought about for a long time, but you know what? My head keeps telling me Detroit with that offensive line.
Yeah.
Now, Marcus Davenport is a projected starter at defensive end if he don't get hurt in the next couple of days. I'll be interested to watching that with Hutchinson on the other side. But you know what? The Lions, they've done some re-coordinating on the defensive side of football. A young man who played his high school ball right up the road from where I live, Amik Robertson at Thibodeau, is the nickelback for the Detroit Lions.
I'm going to go with product, huh?
What?
La Tech product.
Yeah, went to Louisiana Tech. And man, he was an unbelievable player at Thibodeau High School. I'm going to go with Detroit Lions.
Ooh, this one was tough for me too, Mike. I think that the over might be a little bit safer here, depending on what it's... I actually haven't checked what it's set at. Give me the Lions here as well. So you and I see this game the same way. I think Detroit, they're so impressive at what they were able to do early on last season with Dan Campbell. And get them off to a good start again this year. That's what I got. Steve's got the Rams covering the plus 4, but you, me, and Bobby all have the Lions minus 4 in that opener on Sunday Night Football.
Well, if Steve's going to catch up, he better do it this week.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. This is our first official week of Pick 6. Last week, it was just kind of mono
y
mono.
Picking for fun.
Yeah, so, but yeah, now we got NFL slates and NFL action. So we'll get into it this whole season. We'll do it every single week.
And we'll be back, and we'll have on with us Tim Rebo, the head football coach at Nicholls State, on our Thibodaux Regional Health Systems segment with Coach Rebo each and every week. We'll try to do it on Mondays in that 5:30 time frame. And we'll be back with Coach Rebo right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long in studio, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, the head football coach of the Nicholls local state colonels. Tim Rebo and our Tim Rebo segment is brought to you weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems, innovation for a healthy future. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Coach, my dad always told me, Mike, you can do what you want in this life, but you ain't being a coach. And after watching Saturday's game when you played Louisiana Tech, there's a good reason why. I couldn't have slept. You had some opportunities in that game. Man, that would have ate away at me. And I know as a coach you kind of take that 24-hour rule where you soak it in, you see what went right, what went wrong. But, man, it's not that you didn't have opportunities there. And that's what sort of grates you a little bit, that you could have won that football game.
Yeah, Mike, you can pick out certain plays every game that you play, you know, that can make a difference. And when you lose a one-score game, it kind of amplifies those plays in those situations. You know, it was a 15-10 ball game heading into the fourth quarter, and we felt like we still had a chance, even though we missed some scoring opportunities. And I thought our defense was playing well. We were doing good in the kicking game. We just couldn't get our offense rolling. Missing two field goals, and not only you lose the points, you know, which could have been 16-15 at the half, you lose that momentum. And you know how important that is in close games like that.
Any news you want to share with us on Jalen Spears? I saw he went down in the second quarter with an injury.
Yeah, no, it's just the usual bumps and bruises. We got a couple guys that are a typical first game, get a little bumps in, you hold them out a little bit during practice during the week and nurse and get them back. And I told him, I said, we probably needed a few more in the training room. You know, maybe you wasn't doing enough during the game. So
You had to be pleased up front, though, because, man, when you look at the size differential, and Louisiana Tech's a big team up front, your defensive line, I thought that really stood out to me. How well they played mano a mano against a Tech team they got some pretty big cats up front along that offensive line.
Yeah, I think stopping the run was huge for us, and I don't think they busted any on us. And I think Rasheed Lovelace, you know, had an awesome game. He even had an interception for a touchdown. You had Zach Bernard playing up front. Joe Mason, those guys were getting after it. Alex Villalasso, I was pleased the way they handled that. I was pleased the way the defense really swarmed to the ball and tackled. The thing that Coach Rybecki talked about this week, you know, he's still a little disappointed that we could have played a little better. He says, you know, in the perimeter tackling game, we could have made a few stops and gotten off the field. But those guys up front did a good job for us. Now we got to do the same thing on the other side of the ball and get the running game going.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because that's been your bread and butter since you've been there. And I know, you know, when you had Chase, certainly it was a great compliment because Chase could throw the football really well. But inability to run the football, especially when you needed to and have to, it wasn't there against Tech.
No, and it was evidence when we got down in the red zone, you know, and got close to score. We had some opportunities. We had some balls that we got to be able to put those things in the end zone, and we didn't do it. And, you know, especially disappointing, like you said, we've been doing it, and we got a guy like Colin Guggenheim. You know, so we got to be able to utilize him and use him and get him going and get him in the end zone.
There didn't seem to be a really good connection in the pitch and catch game. I mean, there's certainly some factors there. And you caught a little bit of a downpour. It almost looked like it was happening on the bayou yesterday and today. Man, you caught some rain there. But the connection there, it just never really clicked from the pitch and catch game, almost from the start, Coach.
No, you right on it, Mike. We would talk. We got to be better. Pat's got to be a little better. I thought the timing was awesome on some things. I thought Quincy Brown had a really good game and showed up in it. It really, you know, he's been practicing that way and doing such a good job, and I was glad to see him. We got to get a little bit more of the slots. We had another outside receiver starting his first college game. I think that's some, you know, had some things to do with it. Give them a little credit. They were prepared. They were hungry. I thought they did a good job on defense. And I told Sonny Cumby before the game, you know, we were riding over. We stayed in Shreveport, and it was raining. I said, but don't worry, Sonny, it's not going to rain this game. And I looked at the forecast. We're going to be clear the whole game. It goes to tell you what I know, huh?
Well, Coach, that's why you ain't doing weather. But you're 50-50. You know, on the weather deal, it's always the 50-50 shot. But, boy, did the skies open up, I guess, sometime around the second quarter. Man, it started coming down. But the great thing was to watch in the stands, all the kids, man, they had taken their shirts off. Man, they were waving above their heads. They were having a great time, with the water spot. Your secondary, I thought that was another area where I think you guys, they played better than I thought they would. Because I know what Tech sort of does. They sort of want to try to spread you out and try to catch you in a mismatch. And a lot of times early in the season, and we've talking about this to Coach Sumrall, that you get a lot of crossing patterns that, you know, they want to break the communication up between your corners and safeties and the nickel guy and everything else. I thought your secondary, I really believe, played much better than I thought I'd see him in game one.
Yeah, I like it. I think we got a lot of depth back there, too, which is more so we've had in the last couple of years. We got Lawrence Sullivan at corner. We got Ty Marsh. I thought Ethan Lee and Keontae Williams played really, really well. And we still got a tackle. I tell you, they wouldn't have a lot of passing yards if we make two tackles.
Yep.
They hit little check downs and they busted it for a big run down there. So we got to do a little better than that. And you know this, it's early. We got to try to make some improvement from week one to week two. Just obviously the opponent we're going against this week can make that a little bit more difficult.
Coach, I wanted to bring that up. I know you went to LSU, and your thoughts first time.
That was many moons ago.
I could say a lot of things many moons ago. But, okay, for both of us on that end, because we both sort of touching the same ages, so to speak. But the fact that it's the first time Nicholls State has ever played in Tiger Stadium. And I know I remember talking to Coach O about this, man, and, you know, and he wanted this to happen in 2020, and then the COVID situation occurs and the game gets canceled. But your thoughts on, you know, playing in Tiger Stadium? Come on, you grew up in South Louisiana. LSU was so big for everybody, and now you bring your team into Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of excitement in the air. We were all disappointed in 20. You know, when the game got canceled, and I got to give JT and Virge Osberry some credit for trying to get this game back on the schedule quickly. And I was telling somebody the other day, and I said, when the game was gone and they put it in 2024, I was like, man, that seemed like that's forever. You know, we have to wait that long. But now it's here. It's exciting for the community. It's exciting for the school. Our players are going to be jacked up. You know that. We have over 90 players from the state of Louisiana. Obviously, anytime an FCS program is playing the flagship school in your state, obviously there's going to be a lot of excitement. Because they know all about it. They grew up just like everybody else, you know, about Tiger Stadium. So there's going to be a lot of excitement this weekend.
Coach, it's almost like you read my script, because I don't know, maybe somebody give you a shot of it, but whatever. You got 93 young men from the state of Louisiana on your roster. Coach, you think about that throughout the years. Man, so few teams can say that 93 guys from the state of Louisiana. And I remember the day you got hired, you told me, hey, we are going to kind of build that little bridge in that short area and getting into New Orleans, the River Parish, certainly in Lafourche, out in St. Mary and into Baton Rouge. And you say you don't mind going to Mississippi to catch a player or Alabama or whatever. But you were so back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, the head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tim Rebo. And our Tim Rebo segment is brought to you weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems, innovation for a healthy future. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Coach, my dad always told me, Mike, you can do what you want in this life, but you ain't being a coach. And after watching Saturday's game when you played Louisiana Tech, there's a good reason why. I couldn't have slept. You had some opportunities in that game. Man, that would have ate away at me. And I know as a coach, you kind of take that 24-hour rule where you soak it in, you see what went right, what went wrong. But, man, it's not that you didn't have opportunities there. And that's what sort of grates you a little bit, that you could have won that football game.
Yeah, Mike, you can pick out certain plays every game that you play, you know, that can make a difference. And when you lose a one score game, it kind of amplifies those plays in those situations. It was a 15-10 ball game heading into the fourth quarter, and we felt like we still had a chance, even though we missed some scoring opportunities. And I thought our defense was playing well. We were doing good in the kicking game. We just couldn't get our offense rolling, and missing two field goals. And not only you lose the points, you know, which could have been 16-15 at the half, you lose that momentum. And you know how important that is in close games like that.
Any news you want to share with us on Jalen Spears? I saw he went down in the second quarter with an injury.
Yeah, no, it's just the usual bumps and bruises. We got a couple guys that are a typical first game, get a little bumps, and you hold them out a little bit during practice during the week and nurse and get them back. And I told him, I said, we probably needed a few more in the training room. You know, maybe you weren't doing enough during the game. So.
You had to be pleased up front, though, because, man, when you look at the size differential, and Louisiana Tech's a big team up front, your defensive line, I thought that really stood out to me. How well they played mano a mano against a Tech team they got some pretty big cats up front along that offensive line.
Yeah, I think stopping the run was huge for us, and I don't think they busted any on us. And I think Rashid Lovelace, you know, had an awesome game. He even had an interception for a touchdown. You had Zach Bernard playing up front. Joe Mason, those guys were getting after it. Alex Villalasso, I was pleased the way they handled that. I was pleased the way the defense really swarmed to the ball and tackled. The thing that Coach Rybecki talked about this week, you know, he's still a little disappointed that we could have played a little better. He says, you know, in the perimeter tackling game, we could have made a few stops and gotten off the field. But those guys up front did a good job for us. Now we got to do the same thing on the other side of the ball and get the running game going.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because that's been your bread and butter since you've been there. And I know, you know, when you had Chase, certainly it was a great compliment because Chase could throw the football really well. But inability to run the football, especially when you needed to and have to, it wasn't there against Tech.
No, and it was evidence when we got down in the red zone, you know, and got close to score. We had some opportunities. We had some balls that we got to be able to put those things in the end zone, and we didn't do it. And, you know, especially disappointing, like you said, we've been doing it, and we got a guy like Colin Guggenheim, you know, so we got to be able to utilize him and use him and get him going and get him in the end zone.
There didn't seem to be a really good connection in the pitch and catch game. I mean, there's certainly some factors there. And you caught a little bit of a downpour. It almost looked like it was happening on the bayou yesterday and today. Man, you caught some rain there. But the connection there, it just never really clicked from the pitch and catch game, almost from the start, Coach.
No, you right on it, Mike. We would talk. We got to be better. Pat's got to be a little better. I thought the timing was awesome on some things. I thought Quincy Brown had a really good game and showed up in it. It really, you know, he's been practicing that way and doing such a good job, and I was glad to see him. We got to get a little bit more of the slots. We had another outside receiver starting his first college game. I think that's some, you know, had some things to do with it. Give them a little credit. They were prepared. They were hungry. I thought they did a good job on defense. And I told Sonny Cumbie before the game, you know, we were riding over. We stayed in Shreveport, and it was raining. I said, but don't worry, Sonny, it's not going to rain this game. Man, I looked at the forecast. We're going to be clear the whole game. She goes to tell you what I know, huh?
Well, Coach, that's why you ain't doing weather. But you're 50-50. You don't know, on the weather deal, it's always the 50-50 shot. But, boy, did the skies open up. I guess sometime around the second quarter, man, it started coming down. But the great thing was to watch in the stands, all the kids, man, they had taken their shirts off. Man, they were waving above their heads. They were having a great time with the water spot. Your secondary, I thought that was another area where I think you guys, they played better than I thought they would. Because I know what Tech sort of does. They sort of want to try to spread you out and try to catch you in a mismatch. And a lot of times early in the season, and we've talking about this to Coach Sumrall, that you get a lot of crossing patterns that, you know, they want to break the communication up between your corners and safeties and the nickel guy and everything else. I thought your secondary, I really believe, played much better than I thought I'd see him in game one.
Yeah, I like it. I think we got a lot of depth back there, too, which is more so we've had in the last couple of years. We got Lawrence Sullivan at corner. We got Ty Marsh. I thought Ethan Lee and Keontae Williams played really, really well. And we still got to tackle. I tell you, they wouldn't have a lot of passing yards if we make two tackles.
Yep.
They hit little check downs and they busted it for a big run down there. So we got to do a little better than that. And you know this, it's early. We got to try to make some improvement from week one to week two. Just obviously the opponent we're going against this week can make that a little bit more difficult.
Coach, I wanted to bring that up. I know you went to LSU. And your thoughts, first time.
That was many moons ago.
I could say a lot of things many moons ago. But, yeah, okay, for both of us on that end, because we both sort of touching the same ages, so to speak. But the fact that it's the first time Nicholls State has ever played in Tiger Stadium. And I know I remember talking to Coach O about this, man, and you know, and he wanted this to happen in 2020, and then the COVID situation occurs and the game gets canceled. But your thoughts on, you know, playing in Tiger Stadium? Come on, you grew up in South Louisiana. LSU was so big for everybody, and now you bring your team into Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of excitement in the air. We were all disappointed in 20, you know, when the game got canceled, and I got to give JT and Virg Osberry some credit for trying to get this game back on the schedule quickly. And I was telling somebody the other day, and I said, when the game was gone and they put it in 2024, I was like, man, that seemed like that's forever. You know, we have to wait that long. But now it's here. It's exciting for the community. It's exciting for the school. Our players are going to be jacked up. You know that. We have over 90 players from the state of Louisiana. Obviously, anytime an FCS program is playing the flagship school in your state, obviously there's going to be a lot of excitement because they know all about it. They grew up just like everybody else, you know, about Tiger Stadium. So there's going to be a lot of excitement this weekend.
Coach, it's almost like you read my script because I don't know, maybe somebody give you a shot of it, but whatever. You got 93 young men from the state of Louisiana on your roster. Coach, you think about that throughout the years. Man, so few teams can say that 93 guys from the state of Louisiana. And I remember the day you got hired, you told me, hey, we are going to kind of build that little bridge in that short area and getting into New Orleans, the River Parish, certainly in Lafourche, out in St. Mary and into Baton Rouge. And you say you don't mind going to Mississippi to catch a player or Alabama or whatever. But you were so focused on getting those local guys. And I think of the two guys that certainly make an impact quick, Sully Lesh from Lutcher and then Chase Forcade, you know, and local kids, local guys. And you've kept that rolling with 93 guys on your roster from the state of Louisiana.
Yeah, we did hit a home run early on with a couple of those guys. When you throw in Amani Martin from East St. John and Alan Pittman from Destrehan, and you throw good programs, and we kind of continue that. And when I look at the roster and I see guys from Catholic High in Baton Rouge, John Curtis, you still see Destrehan people on the roster. And then tapping into the North Shore with the Bernards and Jake Delmato, I mean, there's a lot of good football players in this state, and we try to find them and develop them and make them be a big part of our program that fit what we do. And obviously they can do it on Saturday. It's been proven.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it, and good luck this coming Saturday. And I know one thing, it's almost like spring break on the bayou. We got a lot of people that be headed out there. I'd like to have some of those alcohol sales along the way, but we wouldn't have to work for a little while if we did. But, Coach, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you, man. I want to tell someone to buy you in the area to make sure they got that red on and not that other color this weekend.
Well, you'll pick them out real quick in the stands, Coach.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Tim Rebo, the head football coach at Nicholls State University. And that segment was brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. Innovation for a healthy future. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. We want to tell everybody at 5:20, Jen Hale from Fox Sports, who will be covering the Saints-Carolina game. for Fox here locally, and she'll be with us at 5:20. And at 5:35, 5:40, Devin McGovern, president of the Bonanno Boxing Corporation, and previewing the Les Bonanno Classic this coming Saturday. So we'll get Devin's take on that. Charlie, I pulled this from Chessa Boucher, a friend of ours on this show, and she got it from Major League Baseball Pipeline, that the Rockies have called up former LSU ace Jaden Hill, and that would be his Major League debut. So Jaden Hill, the former second-round pick of the Rockies, 2021, I think, is
the year, 2021.
He's getting the call up from the Rockies, and so another LSU guy playing in the first time in the majors.
Yeah, 44th overall pick back in 2021. Good numbers so far in Double A this year, Mike. 38 and a third innings pitched, over 34 appearances, a 3.52 ERA. 32.9% strikeout rate. That sticks out.
That is impressive.
The MLB average is around, 23%. So, I mean, he's striking out, batters at a really good rate in Double A. We'll see what he can do with the Colorado Rockies. Because, Mike, you know how hard it is to pitch up there. Like, they are
a any pop fly becomes a home run.
They're kind of a pitching graveyard up in Colorado. So,
man, congratulations.
But good luck to him.
Yeah, congratulations to Jaden Hill getting the call up from the Colorado Rockies. Again, a former 2021 second-round pick from LSU. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.